Blog Talk Radio.
Pastor Mayo.
Okay.
God bless you, Pastor.
Hallelujah. Were you able to hear the sound?
Just bits and pieces. It was like real, it was going in and out, Pastor.
Okay. All right. Hey, you want to give us a word of prayer, Pastor Mayo, from Akron, Ohio, please? Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Pastor. God bless. God bless everyone. Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the Word at Noon. Amen. The scripture I'd like to share is coming from Colossians, the 3rd chapter, verses 1 through 3. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Amen. Heavenly Father, as we come today, Father God, we're thanking you for another day that we can come and be in the Word of God, that we can review and study once again what we have went through over the week, Father God. Father God, we're just thanking you for the listeners and those that participate, Father God, thanking you for our pastor, Father God, as he teaches the word and make it plain enough that we're able to understand it. Father God, be with those that are sick and shut in, those that ask us to keep them lifted in prayer, those who are bereaved, Father God. We know you're a way maker out of no way. You said you will keep thee in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. And be with those that have asked us to keep them in prayer that are going through sickness, Father God. You said in your word, by your stripes, we are healed. Bless all the listeners, all those that listen by internet. Bless those that participate, God, and we're giving you praise for your word, binding up anything and everything that try to come up against the word of God, that try to come up against our pastor and those that are listening and participate, Father God. We give you praise. And we're thanking you, Father God, for another day. In Christ Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you so much, Pastor, for that heartfelt prayer. Hallelujah. Well, listen, brothers and sisters, we're reviewing the lesson, and we're still talking about being a new creation. We're still talking about repositioning. We're still talking about worshiping in a new sanctuary. Mm-hmm. And in order to do what the Bible is telling us to do, brothers and sisters, we have to come out of the flesh and get into the spirit. So this week, we went over several scriptures, and each time it's like it's more revelation. But we're going to open it up with Ephesians, I think it was chapter 2 and verse 6. But I want to start, since Pastor started with that, Colossians 3, 1 and 3. That was a good place to start because that's repositioning. You have to see that as being repositioning yourself in Christ. Remember that we're new creatures. I'm going to just keep saying that until we all get this. We are new creatures. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. We don't even have a past now. All things are new. See, so with the new creation, you don't even have a past. Got to think about that for a moment. Because if not, the enemy will try to trip you with that. But I'm telling you, if you're new, he says the old things are passed away. You don't even have a past now.
because you're new. All things has to become new. And that's the reason we need to reposition ourselves in Christ, because all things are to become new. Okay? So we'll start with Colossians 3, 1 through 3. Believe it or not, brother and sister, that was the scripture that we started this week off with. And then again, I'm going to read it out of the King James Version. And Pastor, you could be so kind and read it out of the Messenger Bible. Fine. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on the things of the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hidden with Christ in God.
Amen, amen. From the Message Bible. So if you're serious about living this new resurrection life with Christ, act like it. Pursue the things over which Christ presides. Don't shuffle along, eyes to the ground, absorbed with the things right in front of you. Look up and be alert to what is going on around Christ. That's where the action is. See things from his perspective. Your old life is dead. Your new life, which is your real life, even though invisible to spectators, is with Christ in God. He is your life. Amen.
So Monday we talked about that a little bit, because that's how you reposition, brothers and sisters. You reposition by being in Christ. But you can't be in Christ until you have crucified the flesh. Let me take let me go back over that. You have to, if you're going to talk about being risen, let's talk about first crucifying the flesh. That means you die.
Amen.
You die from what? From the worldly stuff. From how you feel about certain issues. You dead of all of that. You dead from that. If you've been risen with Christ. See, so if you've been risen with Christ, you crucified it. So it ain't about your feelings, it ain't about how you think. It don't have anything to do with us, period, as far as about our life. Because the scripture says you are dead, and your life is with Christ in God. So if you dead, how you functioning?
All right.
That's if you dead. Now, how you functioning in that old life? You're not. You got to put to death all those worldly thoughts, all those worldly ideals. And even the worldly churches, brothers and sisters, you got to put that stuff away. I read over there, I think it was Hebrews 9. I'm going there. Because I'm going to show you something we got to die to. A lot of people don't realize it. But in Hebrews 9, and I'm going to read the first two verses. Because we have a... we're up on a new covenant, brothers and sisters. We're up on a new dispensation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So in Hebrews 9 and 1, it says, then verily the first covenant had also an ordinance of divine service and a worldly sanctuary. You got to put that word of sanctuary away. See, this is the kind of stuff that people don't want to hear.
Amen.
See, there was a tabernacle that was made first, where it was the candlesticks and all of that, and it and the Bible says, and the Shebah, which is called the sanctuary. There's a word of sanctuary. So when you get to reading this, you'll find out that, wait a minute, God don't want you there. You know how I know? Because he wants you to be part of Christ's ministry. I look at all these ministries and people inviting you to their ministry. We should be inviting people to Christ's ministry. How I know that? Because Hebrews 8 and 1 and 2 says, now of the things which we were spoken, this is the psalm. We have such a high priest who is sit on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heaven, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which God pitched and not man. See, there's other sanctuary, but there ain't one God had. If you're in Christ, then you part of his ministry. Now, I'm going to let our pastor come in and read those other scriptures out of the Message Bible if you see fit or wherever the Lord leads you.
Okay. Hebrews 9, verses 1 and 2 from the Message Bible. The first plan contained directions for worship and a specially designed place of worship. A large outer tent was set up. Amen. And then Hebrews 8, 1 and 2. In essence, we have such a high priest, authoritative, right alongside God, conducting worship in the one true sanctuary built by God. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And did Pastor, you read you one and two, or you just read one?
I read 9, 1 and 2, and then 8, 1 and 2. So if it's okay, Pastor, I'd like to read that out of God's Word, those verses as well.
Okay.
Okay. So from God's Word, Hebrews 9, 1 and 2, the first promise had rules for the priests, the servants. It also had a holy place on earth. A tent was set up. The first part of the tent was called the holy place. The lampstand, the table, the show. Okay, wait a minute, I lost my place here. The lampstand, the table, the bread of the presence were in this part of the tent. Amen. Okay, in the Message Bible, I didn't finish that out because I wasn't sure where it stopped, but now that I see from the Message Bible, that second verse says, a large outer tent was set up, the lampstand, the table, and the bread, show of presence, were placed in it. This was called the holy place. So that was
okay,
called the holy
place. Okay, put a pin there for a minute, Pastor, just so that everybody's clear. The first part of when you go in is called the holy place. That's why when they would go behind the veil, it was called the Holy of Holiness. Everybody couldn't go there. So if you can imagine a building, once you got into that building, that part was a holy ground. Matter of fact, people really supposed to take their shoes off because it was holy. It had been consecrated, dedicated. But long story short, behind that was the veil. And the only one to go back there was the high priest. Now, don't miss what's going on here. God is showing us, just like it was on earth, it's this way in heaven. So all that was just a pattern so you could see what's going on in heaven. So now you have a right to go to the Holy of Holiness. You never had that right under the old covenant. Never had that right. The farther you can go was the place Pastor just read about, was the holy place. You couldn't go behind the holiness of holiness. Mm-hmm. But guess what? You can come boldly before the throne of grace.
Man, mm-hmm.
Well, go ahead, Pastor.
All right, praise God. So the 8th chapter, verses 1 and 2 from God's Word. The main point we want to make is this. We do have this kind of chief priest. The chief priest holds the honored position, the one next to the Majesty God, the Father, on the heavenly throne. He serves as priest of the holy place and of the true tent set up by the Lord and not by human hands. Amen.
Awesome.
Amen. That's the true sanctuary.
That's it. It's a true sanctuary. And listen, brothers and sisters, we're invited to operate there. We're being invited, but you have to reposition yourself, reposition your thoughts, reposition mm-hmm. how you've seen things in the past. That's all you're doing. Right. We ain't trying to take away nothing, but God expects for us to get into where he's at. That's why he mm-hmm. said, if you be risen. See,
yeah.
when you examine this whole thing, you may not have been risen. You may not have crucified the flesh.
Mm.
See, I'm learning day by day. A lot of people think they done crucified the flesh, and they just put it to the side. They, whatever it was that they were doing, some of that stuff they just put to the side.
Mm-hmm.
They ain't killed
right.
it. They got you got to
right.
kill it.
Mm-hmm.
Gotta kill it.
Mm-hmm.
Don't hear it. Folks don't hear that. You gotta kill it. You gotta mm-hmm. crucify it. It got to die.
Mm-hmm.
It has to die. Then we went on and we made a point over in Ephesians. Well, I tell you what, let's do Romans 12, 1 and 2, and then we'll do Ephesians. Because that went on Monday, too. So let's do, if you'd be so kind, let's do Romans 12, 1 and 2. Because, see, this is all part of repositioning, brothers and sisters. You have to mm-hmm. reposition. And it starts with your mindset as well. So he says in Romans 12 and 1 and 2, he says, wherefore? Seeing we also have a great, I'm sorry, that's Hebrews. I went right to Hebrews. Hallelujah.
Mm.
Man, yes. I need to go to Hebrews. Oh, have mercy.
Mm.
Hebrews.
All right.
In the book of Romans, and I did say 12.
Mm-hmm.
I had to look up to make sure I was in the right place here. I know what it's supposed to have been saying. It says, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies mm-hmm. of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy,
mm-hmm.
acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be
yeah.
not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove that is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen. From the Message Bible. So here's what I want you to do when you take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God, you'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what he wants you. Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you. Develop well-formed maturity in you. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Two things here. This is about pleasing the Father.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing here, we have to get on God's level. That's why we have to reposition ourselves. Matter of fact, he said, don't become like the worldly people. That's what he's saying. Don't be like the worldly people.
Mm-hmm.
Got to change.
Yeah.
Something got to change. So when he said worldly people, let me be clear. He's not talking about heathens. They're not even considered here. He's talking about worldly churches. He's talking about Pharisee spirit, Sadducee. Mm-hmm. These were considered as worldly people.
Yeah.
How I know that is when I go to Hebrews 9:1 again, he said worldly. So he's talking about worldly sanctuary. So he ain't talking about no what we've been taught as far as what's worldly. See, everybody want to associate worldly stuff with anything they can see, feel, touch, hear. That's how they associate with worldly. And that's partly right, but they don't never want to add worldly churches. So, am I saying this? Yes, I'm saying this. They don't want to add worldly churches. When the Bible done added worldly sanctuary, then you ought to add worldly sanctuary, bless God.
All right, amen, amen.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
See, because that's how they make their money. But he says, being verily the first covenant, also ordinance of divine service. It had some spiritual stuff, but it had a worldly sanctuary.
Mm-hmm.
That,
all right.
That tabernacle that they had was earthly, worldly. I just want to point out this because I want you to know when your mind, let me put it to you this way, when your mind is being renewed on the word of God, brothers and sisters,
mm-hmm.
and I'm saying this unapologetic, please, I'm saying this because there's an urgency here, brothers and sisters, that you got to start viewing this thing differently. You got to view it from a spiritual so you can know what God's perfect will is. You'll never know his perfect will. You've accepted what's good. We talked about this the other day. God gave me a thought on this, and I want to share this thought with you. Yeah, because you'd be thinking, well, what's good? God said, okay, I want you to think about good as what is really good. And what is really perfect as far as God is concerned. So when I read this, when he said, talking about be not conformed to this world, see that worldly stuff, he said, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind that ye may prove what is good. Got to prove what's good. This good got to be proved. So here's what God showed me. He said, because everything ain't good. I've been led this way, and I apologize, brothers and sisters. I've been led to think that good was really good. But good, all good ain't good.
All right, say it now. Say that.
See, the tree in the garden, I can take you there, but just hold it for a second. Pump the brakes, if you will. All good ain't good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
God told Adam and Eve that in the midst there's a tree of good and evil. Both of them on that tree. But don't eat it.
Mm-hmm.
Don't touch it. Leave it alone, Adam. I know good stuff is on there. Well, you mean I'm going to let this good fruit go? Yeah, let it go.
Mm-hmm.
See, we haven't been trained like that. We haven't been trained like that.
Help us, Joe.
We were taught that good was good.
Mm-hmm.
But here, the writer says, you need to prove what is good. Prove what is good. And, Johnson, not only prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You got to prove this stuff. You got to prove what's good. But you can't be conformed to this world and do this. You can't have a worldly mindset. Your mind has to be transformed. How is that done?
Yeah.
By being in that word day and night, night and day, meditating in that word, going back, checking the scriptures, see if the things you say be true or not.
Because
you can't get conformed to this world. If not, don't go to the world stuff trying to get knowledge and wisdom. Don't do that now.
Mm. That's right.
So where we're going, Pastor? In the word of God. So the Holy Ghost can teach it to you straight out the word. So you'll know that everybody says something good don't mean it's good. Because what's good to you ain't good for you.
Okay.
Can I say that one more time? Everything good to you ain't good for you.
Amen.
And we learned that in that past life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do I need to get a witness here? Do I need to explain my? See, everything good to you ain't good for you.
That's right. Amen.
See, you might feed your kids all that good can, but because it's good to them don't mean it's good for them.
Amen.
I know it's good, but don't touch it. Don't bother it. So God expects for us to prove what is good and prove what is acceptable. God don't accept every good thing because you said good. He don't accept it. Ain't the kind of God you serving because you see it's good. Wait a minute. Time out. Let's see if God says it's good. God got rid of the whole. God got rid of the whole tree. He cut the whole. He said, "No, I don't want none of it. Don't eat none of it. Don't eat none of it." I realize there's good fruit on there and there's bad fruit.
Mm-hmm.
If you admit it or not, but we've been told when you go to a archer or anything where there's trees and fruits and stuff, you begin to examine the fruit. And you, this is good, or this is bad. And you get the good ones, right? We've been doing that most of all our lives, if you be honest. But God said, you know what? I see all the good ones. But, hey, I don't want none of them. Lord, what's wrong? They ain't good. You see they good, but they're not good for you. And if you mothers, and some of you mothers probably can agree with me, you've seen some things good for your children, but it wasn't good for them. So you say, you know what? You don't need this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it may look good, but you don't need that.
Yeah.
It's good. No. See, that's how you have to approach the word of God, brothers and sisters.
Mm-hmm.
Going into a worldly sanctuary, I know it's good to you, but it's not good for you.
Mm-hmm.
Preacher!
Yeah,
I know it's good.
Yeah.
The music good. People dancing is good. You'll get taken in by all of that. Because it's good to you, it don't mean it's good for you.
All right.
Let me make one more point. Because, see, you get addicted to that.
Mm-hmm.
And you accept and you think it's okay and it's fine and you'll be back next Monday and you'll be back Wednesday and you'll be back Sunday. See, you'll get addicted to that. But once you pull away from that garbage, then you'll sound like God. Don't you touch it. I know it's good and bad there, mm-hmm. but just leave it alone.
All right. Amen, amen.
So those was our points we made on Monday. Moving on to Tuesday, unless you have something, Pastor, you want to share, or comment, whatever.
No, Pastor, we're good. Amen.
Okay. So we moved on to Ephesians 2 on Tuesday. Brother and sister, you know, I'm at a place in my life, and I pray that everybody get there. The more I hear the word of God, the more I love it. There was a time that's, oh, okay, I read that. I don't even see that not like that anymore. It's like, okay, Lord, show me something else in there. So in Ephesians 2 and 6, see, this is when you know you have repositioned yourself. The sixth verse says, and have, this past tense, have, and have raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus.
Praise God, praise God. And from the Message Bible, praise the Lord. Tuesday.
Yes.
Okay, Pastor, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
He took our dead sin lives and made us alive in Christ. He did all this on his own with no help from us. Then he picked us up and set us down in highest heaven in company with Jesus, our Messiah. Amen.
Now, oh, thank you so much, Pastor. Listen, brothers and sisters, I want y'all to hear this. I told you it's time that we reposition ourselves. We're going to hear from God's word as pastor to read the sixth verse. See, God showed me this. I hadn't seen this until just now. Just now, I'm seeing it. But in Ephesians 2 and 6, out of God's word, read that, Pastor.
Okay, Pastor. From God's word, God has brought us back to life together with Christ Jesus and has given us a position in heaven with him. Amen.
This is, I don't know if y'all can hear that with your spirit, man. You have been repositioned. Your position is in heaven now.
Thank
with Christ. With Christ. If you can believe this stuff, I believe it. I believe it. I don't have no problem. No problem believing. God has brought us back to live together with Christ Jesus and have given us a position. In other words, he repositioned us in heavenly places. Reposition us in him through his ministry now. Christ's ministry. Yeah, that's where your spirit, man. Forget this earthly stuff.
Amen, amen.
I know we went over some of this and even in the fourth chapter, but listen, brothers and sisters, he says this, and this right there in that second chapter. He said, you have he quickened.
Mm-hmm.
No, you have he made alive.
Thank you.
Because you were dead in your trespasses, worshiping buildings and worshiping man and all this. He said, now in the time past, we walked according to the course of this world. Well, that's interesting. Really now.
Yeah.
What are you talking about here, Lord? I'm glad you asked. This word world here, he's talking about worldly sanctuary. People, get out of your mind about this. Well, I used to do this, I used to do that. And we think all that was according to the world because we were, I don't know what it was, doing drugs or sex. Or, well, And we associate all that with worldly stuff and never include the worldly sanctuary. And that's what he's really talking about here. See, because the church wants you just to see when you was out there doing drugs and da-da-da-da, and oh, it's a good thing you turned your life around. No, it's a better thing if you get them out of that building and out of that religion and after that denomination, and I'm finna show it to you. If you just listen. He says, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Hallelujah. Mm.
Hallelujah.
Praise
God. That's
Ephesians 2, 1, and 2.
Okay. From the Message Bible. It wasn't so long ago that you were mired in that old stagnant life of sin. You let the world, which doesn't know the first thing about living, tell you how to live. You filled your lungs with polluted unbelief and then exhaled disobedience. We all did it. All of us doing what we felt like doing when we felt like doing it, all of us in the same boat. It's no wonder God didn't lose his temper and do away with the whole lot of us. Instead, immense in mercy and with his incredible love, he embraced us. Amen, amen.
Yeah. At one point, we follow that way. At one point, we were dead to the spiritual, to the holy sanctuary, to the one that God made and not man. We were dead to that one.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
then. But then.
Yes, now. Come on now.
Because see, in the past, we walked according to the course of the world. That's the world. Those are worldly churches, worldly sanctuary. And, you know, I wouldn't give a good half to who like it or not. I'm being honest with you, brothers and sisters. I just pulled a bridle right. I mean, I'm not even trying to hold this horse. Just let it rip. You get hit bad. But I'm telling you, we all walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the air. The power that be. We walked according to that mess. But now.
But now.
Because see, God called them children of disobedience. But now.
Mm-hmm.
I want y'all to see it. Because it's important that you understand that one time in the past, you know, it was our lust of the flesh. And when people see that, they thinking that that means you lust after woman, after man. They leave out this earthly sanctuary. They leave. See, there's a great lust for that. There's
all
a great lust. And that's the whore of all hoes right there.
All right now.
Yeah, the earthly sanctuary. I'm telling you. Revelation called her and the mother of all harlots. Yeah, the earthly sanctuary. Ain't no joke. And we lust after her. But people, they don't want to see that. And we would feel the desires of the flesh and of the mind whereby that was our nature. But listen, man, when you get born again, you receive a different nature.
Yes, amen.
So your desire will eventually become your nature. Okay, let me take a minute. Let me take a minute. Make sure everybody on the same page. See, when you desire something, then you'll begin to be conformed to that. If you keep on desiring, say, if you don't never desire no meat anymore, you will become what they call a vegetarian, because that's all you desire for, and you eat it enough, all you desire is kale, rabbit food, I call it, whatever. But then that's going to become your nature, because that's what you're going to start desiring for. You just changed it.
All right, stay there.
Now, I know it's rough for some people, but that's just like anything else. You can change your nature. You get some hairing up in your system. You start putting the wrong kind of drug. You're going to change your nature. Your nature is what you desire for.
Mm-hmm.
Well, listen, brothers and sisters, you can desire more God, more Christ. You can change that by being in the Word of God.
Yeah.
Because see, by nature, we are the children of the wrath. By nature, we are children of sin.
Mm-hmm.
And we were obedient to that. But now we realize, hey, we're dead to that now. Our nature changed. You know why? Because our desires change.
Amen.
When you started desiring for the Word of God and the depths of it, the Bible says, even when we were dead in sin, have he quickened us with Christ. How you do that? By his grace. And have raised us up together. See, this is all spiritual, man.
Mm-hmm.
You ain't going to get nobody fleshly to believe this. You got to be spiritual.
That's right. Amen.
And it had nothing to do with us, because if so, you'd be boasting about it. But your desire changed. You know why? Because you abided in the Word, and the Word abided in you. And God showed me something about that too, Pastor. I'm going to go ahead on and put it out there. God said the reason he wants us to abide in him, he told me, said the reason he wants us to live in him, because that was that word about me, the reason he wants to live in him, because that's going to change our nature.
Ooh, thank God. Amen.
Yeah. Because I'm wondering, well, I got to live in the Word. Well, your nature got to change so you can be like the Father. And it won't change as long as you stay in the world way of thinking. See? So when you are living in God, then you become like God.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Say that.
Then in that, when you abide in, you're going to get his love, his kindness, his way of thinking, because your mind is being renewed now on the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm going to move on. See, actually, we're still, this Monday, Tuesday was an extension of Monday. When you think about it, it was an extension of Monday. I would love for us to realize that God had made us. He made us. He created us in this way. The Bible says we're his workmanship. Created in Christ Jesus. You're being created in Christ Jesus. Now watch this word, for good work. You know what good works are? Well, the one that you are approved and acceptable and perfect will of God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
God ordained that we walk in this. It's been ordained by God. It's what we're to walk in. That was Monday. That was Monday and partially Tuesday. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Pastor, you have anything you want to add to that?
Well, you brought it out, Pastor, that, you know, when we reposition ourselves, then we want to have more of God's Word. And as we get into more of God's Word, then that shows us and teaches us and helps us and direct us to be in the right path. So, yeah, thank you, because I had to go through that myself, that repositioning. And in doing so, has brought drawing me closer to the Lord because I'm in his word more. So thank you, Pastor.
Are you, well, see, listen, brothers and sisters, everybody has to do this. It's a process. We have to crucify the with Christ. We got crucified with Christ.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he said. Nevertheless, yet not us. And you got to see it that way.
Yeah.
That life we live now is not the life that you might see through the optical nerve, but it's Christ living in us, Pastor. And the life which we live now, we live in the flesh, but we live in faith of the Son of God.
Yeah. Amen.
See, so we all have to go through that. We all have to reposition, brothers and sisters. You have to crucify the flesh.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, really crucify the flesh. And it's not so much you don't do this, you ain't drinking, you ain't in this bar. No, everything in line with flesh. And I always like to say that with the church, with the organized church. That's right. I got a thing with them, against them, brothers and sisters, because it's a whore.
Mm-hmm.
Taking your money. They're like most ho-hoes I know. They take your money. But anyway, that's for another day. But that's what the book of Revelation says. So, you know, y'all take it or not, man, that's what it says. The church is a whore. The whore taking your money.
Yep,
but it don't mean nothing to me.
Mm-hmm.
But see, when you crucify the flesh, money don't mean anything to you.
Mm-hmm.
But until you crucify the flesh, money becomes your one of the main things you're working toward. You don't want to lose no dollar to.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah. Yahweh found another way to get that money.
All right. I'm a good Lord.
Well, what you got? Just give me what you got. Let me see what you got. That's what Creflo doing now. Creflo said, just whatever you got, bring it up here now. You ain't got to give me the 10%. Now, you already know in your mind you got to give the 10, so give me whatever. Some of y'all can do better. Give me a little bit more. Yeah. That's a trick of the hoe. But let me tell you, brother, sister, the Bible said Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. So everybody want to be righteous. You don't live by the law. You live upon the grace and truth.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Better say that again.
Yeah.
See, anything associated with the law, let it go. That's include tithing. That was of the law. A lot of stuff was of the law. Let it go.
Mm-hmm.
And then embrace the things that are Christ or the things that are Christ's.
All right. Yeah. Amen.
Okay, I'm going to step aside. Pastor, you have anything? All right. Yes, what we say. Can we open up the studio? I know we run a little old, brother and sister, but anybody have anything to say? Press 1, and we'll let you in. I'll stop opening up the whole studio, but just press 1, and we'll let you in.
Yeah, so what you were speaking on, I think it was Wednesday, you were talking about being righteous conscious and not sin conscious.
Uh-huh.
And I know we was in the Ephesians quite a bit on that.
Ephesians 4, 20 through 24. That was part of Tuesday and Wednesday.
Okay. Amen.
So we can read that, Pastor. I know we're over time, but go ahead.
Okay. So Ephesians 4, and what did we say was 20 through 24, reading from the King James. It said, "But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." Amen.
Amen.
So from the Message Bible, then I'm going to read that again, I think. Message Bible 4, 20 through 24. It says, "But that's no life for you. You learn Christ. My assumption is that you have paid careful attention to him, been well instructed in the truth precisely as we have it in Jesus. Since then, we do not have the excuse of ignorance." I do mean everything. Connected with that, the old way of life has to go. It's rotten through and through. Get rid of it. And then take on an entirely new way of life. That's that repositioning then. It says a God-fashioned life, a life renewed from the inside and working itself into your conduct as God accurately reproduces his character in you. Amen, amen. So I look at that as being repositioning.
Amen. See, this is the way God wants us to live. And if a person declare and decree that they've learned Christ, they ain't learned him. They ain't been taught by him. See, when you learn something, the Bible says, "But ye have not so learned Christ." When you learn Christ, it's when you don't do the worldly stuff. You don't go to the worldly sanctuary.
All right.
I know that's not going to go over with a lot of people, and it's okay. But you need to hear the truth. And if I don't tell you, I don't know who's going to tell you. And if I don't do it now, I don't know who. So I have to tell you this stuff. You haven't learned Christ.
Amen.
And the Bible tells you right there, if you've been taught by him now, you've been in his sanctuary. For he's a minister.
All right.
That's where normally people get taught spiritual stuff in the sanctuary. So, hey, you ain't been in his sanctuary yet. The one God made and not man.
All right.
To learn something, and I'll say this, and I know we're running over, but I'll say this. To learn something, there's some accountability. There's some responsibility. For instance, I learned that touching that stove will burn my hand. See, when I learned that, I don't do that anymore.
Amen.
See, when you learn there's something not good for you, you can tell me all day long that, well, you know what, I don't eat this, I don't eat that. Well, it sounds good, but I don't know if you learned that, if it's bad for you. You haven't learned it. You have to be honest and say, you know, Lord, I haven't learned that pork chop sandwich is not good for me. I haven't learned it.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't learned, Lord, the Kool-Aid is not good for me. Too much, lose my sugar, diabetes, or whatever. See, when you learn stuff, you stop doing that.
Amen. Yeah. Amen.
And that's not hitting on anybody eat pork chop. That's not what I'm saying. Just trying to give you a parable, trying to show you what I'm talking about. I don't want you to go and say, oh, Pastor, I can't eat no pork chop. No, I'm talking about when you learn whatever it is, that's good for you.
Yeah.
I'm good to you, good for you and not good to you, you've learned something then. But if you haven't learned that, you still going by what's good to you and not necessarily good for you.
All right.
If that makes sense, you know.
Yeah.
But we
yeah.
have to learn. I'm going to leave it right there. Anything else, Pastor, you want to bring out? Or anybody's word that goes? Anybody else?
Mm-hmm. Great word.
Okay.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Oh, wait a minute. Here somewhere. Okay. Your phone number ending of 0113. You're on. Zero, one, one, three. Oh, why you hang up? Okay.
Nope.
Praise the Lord.
Praise God.
Right, number nine. Just in case I see it again. The Chris won.
Oh. Amen. My God bless.
Okay. Miss Carl. Okay. Well, nothing else, Pastor. Thank you so much. Mm-hmm. And no one else will see you all tomorrow for the word at noon.
All
thank
right,
you so
God
much, Pastor.